So tell me if this sounds nuts, or, I don't know, maybe familiar? But I have this weird resistance to the holidays. Like, I love them, but every year, when we start heading into the season, I always feel like it's coming too fast, I want to put it off, and I'm never ready for them. A couple years ago, I remember hearing Christmas carols right after Halloween, and I was furious. Well, you can't procrastinate anymore, though, because it's on. We had Thanksgiving, and Hanukkah is so close, I can already smell the oil. So we're going to start there today. My buddy David Neufeld is a terrific chef. His restaurant is called Ke Fico in San Francisco, and it's an Italian restaurant with a focus on the food of the Roman ghetto. So he was in New York recently to be named one of Bon Appetit magazine's best new restaurants of the year, and while he was in town, he dropped by my place to show me how his family does potato pancakes. Chef David Neufeld, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Francis.
It is a pleasure to have you. So most of the guests at the Splendid Table do not actually make house calls, so thank you for coming to my home. So you are not Italian, you studied cooking in Italy, you're a great student of Italian cooking, but you're also super interested in Italian-Jewish food. Tell me about it.
Jewish food has always been something that I've been incredibly fascinated with because, you know, the diaspora of Jewish cuisine is vast, right? Yeah. You know, they were traveling people, very nomadic, so between, you know, Ashkenazi and Sephardic and the silk trade and, you know, persecution and going from one town to another, one country to another, one continent to another, you know, they pick up things where they were and then bring them to their new place. And then history, right? You have, for example, in our restaurant, it's the Cucina Ibrica, which is, you know, the Jewish cuisine of Rome, which, you know, kind of found its fame, so to speak, in the Roman ghetto, which is the longest existing ghetto in the world.
Yeah.
You know, the history of that cuisine is not one that is not still growing, right? So you have people who have come to Rome at different decades and centuries and millennia, essentially, that brought different things from different areas, right? So you had some that were coming from North Africa and some that were coming down from the Veneto, from Venice, and bringing those different kind of traditions that they've created for themselves and then creating new traditions, right?
Right.
And, you know, these were all things that at the restaurant we wanted to showcase. So today, you know, one of the recipes that I wanted to point out was how different even the sphere of the idea of the potato pancake can be the latke, right? When you think of latkes, everybody has an opinion of what they think a latke is to them. You know, a lot of times people here in New York might envision like Veselka, right? It's like a shredded latke.
Yeah, it's like a shredded crispy potato pancake, right?
Yeah, totally like that. And so the potato pancake I grew up eating was from, you know, my family that immigrated here as refugees from Belarus. So it's actually not called a latke, it's called a dranik.
Okay.
So so draniki are, you know, ground potatoes rather than shredded.
Yeah.
And so they have more moisture to them, like a potato batter. And on the inside is this like beautifully ground chicken patty that has, you know, a certain amount of chicken fat in it and some herbs and some garlic. And it's super flavorful. And getting closer to the holidays now, you know, I always think about this recipe because it's reminiscent for me of being in my home and coming home to like a massive stack of these draniki just sitting there, and you just run up to the stove and you grab one. It's not your stereotypical one-trick pony latke.
Right. All right. This is at least a two-trick pony.
It's at least two tricks.
All right, so let's take a look. We're going to make it now.
Right.
So we tried to do some prep for you before you showed up. I have the eggs beaten. I've got the chicken mixed with the garlic and the parsley. Ground potatoes.
Right. If you don't have a grinder, what you can do is you can shred them first and then put them into a food processor and just kind of pulse them slightly. And it's wet, right? You have, you know, it's almost batter-esque, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of draining it out, what we're going to do is we're going to thicken it. And the idea behind thickening it rather than draining it is all of that wetness, that has flavor, and that's also going to add to the kind of moisture on the inside of the dranik. So we're going to add some flour and some eggs to this. You know, there's a recipe for this, but the fact that this recipe is even written down, I think, is going to like revoke my Jew pass. You know, because we wrote down nothing in my family. Unfortunately, my grandparents passed away before I was able to take the type of interest that I really should have in the things that they could pass down. Mm-hmm. I'm actually very fortunate because my mom's husband is actually a really amazing cook, and he's kind of like carried the mantle. Is that like a saying? Carried the mantle? Carried the mantle. Carried the flag.
Carried the torch.
The flag, the torch.
What do you do
like
with
that.
A mantle? I don't really know what a mantle is. Yeah, my wife's an architect. She knows.
You don't, like, you didn't grow up in, like, a rich household where there were mantles?
A fireplace and
like,
mantles?
Mantles?
Yeah, no.
Neither did I. So yeah. we're out of our league here, Francis. Right? Kids with ethnic backgrounds didn't have mantles, all right? So either way, whatever. He passed the latke, yeah. You know, so to speak. And, you know, he's the one who really showed me how to make this. And it was kind of like a special bonding experience between he and I where, you know, he showed me the way that his mother taught him how to make it.
Yeah.
So we're going to add some of the flour here into the ground potato and onion, which already is seasoned with salt and pepper. And we're going to add just enough to kind of thicken it a bit. Now, whenever you add flour to something, you really want to be careful not to overwork it, right? Because then you kind of get that like gluten elasticity that you don't want in this case. So now we have our broken eggs. So we're mixing the batter together. So by the end of it, the way it should appear is the water should look as if it's been thickened into the batter.
Mm-hmm.
And it should not appear that there's
like any water has seeping up the top.
Exactly right. Yeah. We have our ground chicken here, and that's mixed with some chopped parsley, some egg, some garlic, as well as some salt and pepper.
So the oven is preheated. It's 400 degrees, as asked for in your written recipe.
Oh, thank you. Perfect. And so we have a nonstick or a well-seasoned cast iron skillet. You could try to do this with a pan. Just the idea is like make sure that the pan gets hot first and then you get your oil hot first.
Yeah.
Add a generous amount of oil to this. We're going to take our potato batter and make sure that it has been slightly mixed. So that way there's no kind of water right on top. And we're going to take a spoonful and we're going to put it right in the center, and then maybe another quarter spoonful. And we're going to create a little divot right in the center.
Okay.
Not a hole all the way to the bottom, but yeah, just the smallest little divot.
Yeah, just gently pushing the center out with the back of your spoon.
Exactly right. And then from there, what we're going to do is we're going to take our chicken, our ground chicken, we're going to put
yes
right in the center there like that. And then right after, we're gonna take another smaller spoonful and put it right on
the batter. So you're just covering up that little chicken,
yeah,
that little chicken patty with more of this potato batter.
Yeah, exactly right. So if you notice, you're getting like this beautiful kind of golden
brown, crispy brown edge around the side.
So this, to me, the smell that you're smelling right now, that's my childhood.
Yeah.
Like everything about that is my childhood. You know, ground onion, ground potato, ground chicken with like chicken fat and onions and garlic.
And this would be like a holiday food for you. Like this would be like a Hanukkah food.
Yeah, totally. 100%. And if you wanted to do it without meat, by the way, you could totally do this very same recipe without meat. And it would be just as good. You just wouldn't have the meat. And sometimes you'll run out of meat. And basically what my mom's husband will do is he just keeps cooking with a potato.
Yeah.
And then he'll have some with meat and some without. So at this point, we're going to do a kind of move here where I'm going to turn the fire off. The oil is still hot and we're going to go to flip this. And what I do is I take the pan and I tilt the pan away from me. And then what I'll do is I'll flip it towards the part of the pan that has less oil in it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't splash all over the place.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Okay. And then I'll let it back down.
Oh, that is pretty. And oh, that is like the most beautiful golden brown circle of potato.
Yeah, totally. And then at this point, once you get like really nice color on both sides, like you see how at the bottom there it's yeah, nice and golden brown and crispy.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pull it out and I'm gonna put it on a tray that's lined with something. It can be lined with foil or parchment paper or a silpat or anything like that. And then we're just gonna put them in the oven. Bake for about 3 minutes or so, 4 minutes, and then we'll check it when the time has come to see if it's hot in the center.
Magic radio moment. So now this is coming out of the oven and it's definitely puffed in the middle.
Yeah. And so that, you know, the steam is escaping from the inside. And then what I like to do first is we'll put it onto a paper towel yeah, as it comes out to kind of soak up any excess oil that there is left. And I'm just going to flip it over just to get both sides. And then I'm going to take it and just put it on a plate.
Just keep doing your demo, chef. I'm going to sit here and keep cooking.
Okay, you got it. So I like to finish with just a little bit of extra salt on top. If you want to get fancy, you can use some fleur de sel or even flake salt. Or you can just finish with just a little bit more kosher. And so what I'm going to do is we have some applesauce here and some sour cream. So now what we're going to do is we're going to take a generous dollop of sour cream, put it to one side, and then on the other side, we're going to take a nice dollop of applesauce, line them up right next to each other in any proportion that you prefer to, but I'm a more applesauce than sour cream type of person. Now there's one thing that I'm going to do to kind of chef this up slightly, and this is something I started doing. This was never done in my household, so feel free to skip this. I take some sliced chives, and I just really finish the top with a good amount, like a mound. You know, and potatoes, sour cream, and chives, that's not like a stretch, right?
Yeah. Okay. It smells so good coming out. I mean, like, it's that crisp potato.
Yeah,
you can really smell that
fat.
Chicken.
Yeah.
You can really smell that chicken coming through it.
So just...
All right. I'm kind of more of a sour cream guy, so I'm going to start on the sour cream side, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. To each their own. And I'm more of a applesauce type fellow myself, so I'm going to go in there on this side. This is just something for me that's always been there, right? You know, you've always had this constant of coming back home and this flavor and this smell. And it's something I'm looking forward to sharing with my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, it's her experience of coming in from a cold day outside and smelling, you know, much to my girlfriend's chagrin, some, you know, oil like permeating through the apartment and potatoes searing in the pan and the chicken fat smell. But, you know, for me, when my daughter smells that, I think she's going to associate it the same way I do with this, just this feeling of comfort, like this feeling of, you know, someone who loves you is at home cooking for you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing.
That's awesome.
I'm going to take another bite.
Thank you so much for coming over and cooking this for me and giving me your family memory for me to give to my kid.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me here.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you very much.
David Nayfeld is the chef of K Fico in San Francisco, and you can find his recipe for draniki at splendidtable.org. And I have to tell you, after he left that night, I made literally 10 more of them for me and my wife and our little daughter, and our house smelled like it for 2 days, and it made me so happy.